Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, Round 8, 2020. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and look, we try to keep things light and fun here on the Junk Time AFL Podcast, but something happened this week which was actually a bit disturbing. Adam Rosemarks, you are here with me now.
It's not usually that we look at the lighter side of footy, but sometimes...
Yeah, we have fun with it, yeah.
Yeah, we do. We try our best, mate. Footy's a very serious game, and for us, we think it's good to just have a laugh and not take ourselves too seriously. Because after all, Michael, it is just a game. But sometimes when everything you've built up, your empire, your intellectual property is stolen, let's fucking say for what it is stolen, then I think that we, as an entity, as a Junk Time entity, have every right to arc up and stand our ground for what we believe in.
Yeah, to speak out. You know, when people are stealing our act. Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
And so it was very disturbing this week when on AFL 360, Mark,
a show
Robinson,
that we, you know, respected, and they respect us as much as we respect them.
For sure.
That's what I love. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, because it's footy from all angles. I don't know if you know that.
It's 360 degrees. There is no angle, not one angle that hasn't been covered by AFL 3. It's not AFL 356 where they almost go there. They go right round.
So it's on Tuesday night, if I remember correctly, that Mark Robinson dropped the C-bomb.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was drinking a Chardonnay at the time and I spat it out. Yeah.
I can imagine. I imagine how it would have played out in your house. It would have been... just ruined foie gras as you flung it to the ground. And rightly so. You were right to be angry. I was watching it down in Wayne Jackson Studios. I was filthy as well. And we rang each other straight away and we're like, what do we do? Do we get the lawyers? And to paint a picture of what happened, he was talking about Leon Cameron. This is Mark Robinson, the filthy thief. And he said, a lot of people, they talk about Leon Cameron and they say he's a cunt and they can't, you can't say that sort of thing about it. And you're like, did he just use? I mean, he didn't say low dog.
No.
Fuck, he was close. You could see it was in his head before he dropped the C-bomb.
I mean,
and
for
it's
sure.
Just, if, it's
I mean,
disgusting behaviour.
If he did use the words Gatorade Bukkake, then we'd absolutely take him to the Supreme Court straight away.
Oh. There's no doubt about that. We've spoken to our lawyers. Now, during the week, we met at a border town. We won't say where because, you know, I'm in lockdown and Michael's not up at Rod Carter Studios. But we had mediation in a TAB with Robbo. And we couldn't solve it. So it is with our lawyers. So we can't say too much about it at the moment.
I found weird that Robbo wanted to meet us at 3 a.m. in the morning. I found that weird.
Yeah. But we said, mate, we are going to take you for everything you've got. Now, it turns out, once we got our lawyers to go through that, not a lot, kind of about three suits that really need a fucking dry clean.
So, to break it down, what he said was basically, he's like doing the kind of Robbo kind of act, like, but they say he's a cunt, he can't coach. So do you get the feeling that he went to say he can't coach and got a bit mixed up, like tried to put one thing before the other?
I do believe that is what happened.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you would hope that a man who's been doing a show for 10 years doesn't have to second guess himself when he's talking about a coach and what he's heard people call him, that he has to go, hang on, don't say it.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
He just lets it fly and he goes, oh, fuck, I let it go.
And then also the idea of Jared. Like, I think Jared would melt if he actually heard the C word said out loud. I think he'd be just Mr. Robinson, I do believe I'm getting the vapors. But then to his credit, he did apologise at the end of the show and said, look, sorry, kids. I dropped the C-bomb on national TV.
He said, Sorry, cunts. I mean, kids. I apologize. But, I mean, social media lit up when it happened. It was one of the best things that's happened. And you know what, right? I actually think don't let the kids watch 360, but let Robbo go to town.
Oh, okay. So, like, a press red for Robbo.
Press, yeah, fuck, I would switch on to that. How good would that be? If they've got their, you know how they've got their hero of the week, then you've got your fucking villain asshole cockhead of the week.
Yeah, sure,
I'm watching
sure.
Because people are leaving Foxtel in droves. You want to bring them back, then that's the way to do it. Give the people what they want. Basically, what they want is Junk Time Live on Fox Footy.
I mean, fuck, man, yeah, press rev to Junk Time. Like, we could actually tower that shit up. Like, we would, I mean... he's a great man and he's done a great deal of good work over the many decades, but we could put a lot more money into Rupert Murdoch's pocket. And that's what people want.
Yeah, that is very true. You give me one example where Rupert Murdoch... Exactly. You can't. Now, Robbo had to offer an apology after his little mistake there. And we here at Junk Time, we are not too proud to offer our own apologies when we fuck up. And we made a monumental... blue,
dude.
Great transition. Did we make a bluey last week, Michael?
So we got hit up last week because we talked about Bluey, the animated dog series on the ABC, Defund the ABC.
Yes.
we talked about Bluey being a boy, okay?
Yeah.
And so we got a message here from Daniel saying my niece would be incredibly upset if I didn't point out that Bluey is a bloody girl. It's 2020. Cartoon dogs can be girls too.
That's true.
From Jim, Bluey is a girl. Bluey's mum works at the airport as a sniffer dog.
There you go. That explains why Bluey's always fucking rolling in. She's got the good razor scooter. She's
and
not got the Kmart
got from
version.
Paul, g'day lads. Information without notice. Bluey is a girl. Now, obviously, like... my nephew and nieces are a bit too old for Bluey now, so it's not really part of my purview.
And the kids that I see in the park are never watching Bluey. They're furiously calling the police. So I didn't know that Bluey was a girl either.
But I do like the idea that we created the fictional scenario where Bluey, a very special episode of Bluey, for the finale. Like if one day they, I mean, it's not a very old show, but if they want to do a finale one day, we pretty much teed it up for them. And the finale that Bluey smuggles drugs into Saudi Arabia and is executed via beheading. And now
we changed that to being executed by being backed over by a ute. Remember?
Okay, gotcha. Well, I mean, now that I feel that Bluey's a girl, like.
No. No sexism on this show. Yeah. Well, especially in Saudi Arabia.
But then also, look at this. Okay, so Bluey's mum works at the airport as a sniffer dog. So, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my scenario for the finale. Okay, new scenario. Okay. Bluey's mum gets in a little too deep with the ponies, right?
Okay.
And so she needs a quick cash fix because the loan sharks are coming after her.
Fair enough.
She says to Bluey... Hey,
they're going to take all four of her kneecaps.
Yeah, and they say, Bluey, hey, there's some money on the offer. Can you import the drugs into Saudi Arabia? And so what a powerful moment.
I'd prefer to keep it local. Let's make it a Balinese cartel.
Okay, gotcha. Now, we're probably getting a little bit too close to a story from a long time ago because they are a very litigious family. And so but imagine the emotion when Bluey is going through the gates at the airport.
Just let me pull you up there. You may say they're litigious, but we can easily win them over with a King Tut's putt-putt voucher. And I know that you might sue them for everything I want, but that certain family that you are talking about, they can be bought, and I know that for a fact.
Another company.
18 holes. Holes.
Another group we're going to mediate with at 3 a.m. in the morning. So imagine the emotion, though, when Bluey, heading into customs and the mum's there and she does the sniff and says, no, all clear, even though she knows because she got too deep in with ponies, that Bluey is, you know, got a mission.
Yep.
And then maybe Bluey's mum, she knows sniffer dogs at the other end.
Uh-huh.
And she can organise, you know, just let her go through.
Yeah, yeah. She wanders on through.
And then, unfortunately, Bluey gets caught and then, unfortunately...
Yep.
Yeah,
Bluey. And then Bluey takes up artwork while in prison and then is taken to another island where she's let go on a beautiful farm and let to run around.
Oh, dude. dude. Anyway, we do apologise. We had no idea that Bluey was female. That's on us. That's on us.
It is on us.
Yeah, we should be watching more ABC Kids.
Just a quick shout out to all our Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much for getting on board the Junk Time AFL family. You're part of the family now, and keep those subscriptions coming in at patreon.com/junktimeAFLpod. We are going to need that money to pay out a lot of the lawsuits that are going to be brought our way. So just keep those coming in, and we do appreciate it. And don't forget, of course, the Junk Time merch available at junktime.bigcartel.com. Get yourself a stubby holder, or else, if you love a little book, get yourself a copy of Paris and Other Disappointments, available on Audible, or you can buy them wherever you get your books.
Yeah, for sure. The book and the audiobook too. I love an audiobook. I actually really do like an audiobook.
Where are you listening to an audiobook? Because you're not a walker.
But no, I am. But like when I'm wandering around to the shops and stuff like that, like you're kind okay. I really enjoy popping in the audiobook.
All right, mate. All right. Don't just fucking brag because you're in Sydney that you're allowed to walk around to shops.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam, I give you the floor to hang shit on Hawthorn for about 10, 15 minutes.
Thank you, Michael. Where would you start with? Who would you get rid of first? Like, do you cut the head off? Like, do you get rid of Clarko? Is it Kennett that you get rid of? Do you move? Can you get someone good for Tom Mitchell? Like, is it time to move on Warple? I mean, he's had his chance. He's only got one BNF in 3 years. That's pretty low. Where do you start?
I think the boot stutter is the problem.
It is a bit of an issue. I did see a lot of people slipping on Saturday, and so that's a good point.
It was a wet game, so I watched it at a pub in Sydney. Humble brag.
All right, mate. All right.
So there's actually a pub in Alexandria. What's it called? The Camilla Grove Hotel. And they've actually done quite a good job, but they've kind of cornered the market of non-Sydney clubs in terms of supporters groups.
Yep.
Yeah, so I've been to there a few times, and they get about 50, 60 people.
Okay,
and you can watch it on a kind of, you know, medium-sized screen.
Medium-sized, not small, not large.
Yeah, it's not big, but it's medium, so I went there with a friend, and because I couldn't get a ticket because I'm not an interstate member.
Yep.
So I couldn't get in there.
But you are a member, aren't you?
I am a member, yeah. So,
and they would know that your residential address is now at Rod Carter Studios, do they not? Or is it still at... Eastern, leafy eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Rod Carter, yeah. So I actually don't really quite know how it works.
Yep.
But I emailed the club again this week. So I got to go to the Giants game, I got to go to the Melbourne game, and then the Collingwood game, and this one. I emailed the club both times and said, you know, do I qualify? And they checked and they said, no, you don't. I said, I'm Michael Chamberlain. So they went to the pub to watch it, but there was literally like 10 people there. So there was no one there. Like, you know,
okay,
fair
so
enough.
All the Hawthorn supporters have fucking given up, have they? Even the Sydney ones?
Well, I think by the fact that people kind of go, you know, why do you need to go into a pub to watch it? And but they've, to the credit, the pub, they've actually kind of, cornered the market of those supporter groups and stuff like that. You know, like,
were there many Sydney supporters at that pub?
I think there was one. Yeah. So like maybe
just one.
Nine Hawks and like a Swan, but like they were with like two Hawks. So
right.
I mean, when I've been there for the Hawthorn ones, like they, you know, they do a raffle, you know, you can win a t-shirt or, you know, meat tray or whatever, you know, they get a bit of something going.
Or a property portfolio.
Yeah. But
yeah. Now, what did you make of Clarko's comments post-game? So he's deflecting like no one else. He's very good at it. Last week he was worried about free kicks and off the ball. Now, what were you complaining about last week? It was the interpretation, wasn't it?
A few weeks ago, he was complaining about the interpretation of holding the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now he came out this week and he said that Papley's a cheat.
Yeah. He said Tom Papley milks free kicks with the best of them. Now, in Papley's defence, I'm not a huge fan until he comes to Carlton next year. He had his back to Chip Frawley and was hip and shouldered in the back and went down like a weak dog does. Like you and I would keep our feet in that situation, but he went down. That's hardly Papley's fault, wouldn't you say?
No, for sure. Like when you're a fan and you see something like that happen on the halftime siren and you go, just don't do that, you know? Like,
what do you reckon about the free kick being given where it is in the goal square? Should it go back to the middle? Like, is it too big a penalty to pay? Because if that happens anywhere else, you get a free kick where it happens I suppose it makes sense, doesn't it?
You just kind of defend your own argument. Yeah. But I mean, but it is that thing though, because usually the retaliation gets the free kick. So,
Well, it kind of did. So Tom Mitchell.
Well, no.
Was
so well, I mean, the Papley and Mitchell were kind of like a bit of a push and a shove. Yep. But then Frawley came in, knocked over Papley, and then I think a Swans player came in and knocked over Mitchell. I think it was Wright. And
yes, so Callum Sinclair pushed him over.
Usually, correct. There's a the second one. It's like, you know, when your mum comes in and you're punching your brother, and then your brother punches you, and you know they get in trouble. Yeah. You know, and you go, "Ha, got away with it."
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that was last week.
But I just want to, like, it is all falling apart for Hawthorn. Now, you guys are going to have to give back some of your 1980s premierships as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So a little story's come out this week that Don Scott has said that Hawthorn, paying well and truly outside the salary cap during their glory years of 86, 88, 89 and 91, one of those which should go to Carlton, so we now have 17 flags, go Blues, top of the table. And he said, how's this? They used to pay players off the books through their Tasmanian bank accounts, the Cayman Islands of Australia, if you will.
Yeah, they had a secret bank account in Tasmania to pay players under the table. Now, I've got a feeling that Hawthorn got in trouble for salary cap back in the 90s because they said, you're cheating. But I don't know what... I think it might have been a fine. I don't think it was like back in the day. I don't think they really knew what the draft was. And so they you know, would just, you know, fine you 50 grand or something. I feel like we got impacted for that back in the day.
Well, I heard today that someone's partner, I won't name names here because we're already getting sued enough, but someone's partner worked for the club as a secretary for 3 days a week and was on 150K.
Wait a second. Have you heard that?
Yes, absolutely I've heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
And what time period?
That time period that Don Scott is talking about, from the mid to late 80s into early 90s.
That is fucking fascinating, and I can't wait for us to stop recording so I can ask you who that was.
So, like, I think that was a very common thing back then, is that players would get houses bought in partners' names, cars in people's names.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that stuff happened off the books. I mean, Carlton's 95 premiership team, we had a lot of good players in there.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, we got done late 90s, early 2000s. That's when we, you know, lost Goddard and Daniel Wells in the draft. Essendon got done for it. Adelaide got done for it in the, 2011 when Kurt Tippett went to Sydney?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
So it has happened throughout history. And I guess Hawthorn was kind of, I don't know, escaped it. Maybe it was just one of those open secrets, but he's made it like a really open secret and said, you know, and the one thing Don Scott said is I can name... He hasn't named names, but I could talk about it because the people involved are dead. And I'm saying murdered. There is nothing surer than they sent several Hawthorn tough men around there and just went, mate, this story could get out. And they went, Dibbies and Forges. And they went around and took care of the situation, if you know what I mean.
That is fairly bleak though, isn't it? That Don Scott's now coming out and just kind of... You know, because people have passed away.
Well, it's not helpful. It's not helpful to the club. They probably, you know, the club's at their lowest ebb for what, a good 15 years. They don't really need another kick in the guts. And yet he has, he's put the Hawthorn teeth on the gutter and he is about to...
It's American History X them, hey?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he does make a point, which I find quite interesting by the fact, and as a fan, you thought about this back in the day, that when the merger kind of period was happening, that that had all the kind of success. They had a, you know, medium membership. But I think back then, like, people didn't really think about membership a great deal in terms of...
No, not at all.
Yeah, like, you're kind of a bit unique, I imagine, back in the day, kind of like being a member.
Yeah.
And what would it have cost? Like, you know, like $20 maybe back then?
Yeah, if that, yeah. Maybe $19.50.
But he does make the point that maybe when he kind of came on to the board after the merger period, that they're all a bit surprised, kind of, why don't we have any money?
Yep.
Like, we've had, you know, a decade of, you know, success, and they weren't, you know, the biggest drawing crowd in the world, but they were kind of like, well, where's the money? And it's like, in a brown paper bag, dun.
But also, too, you look at it, like, I've read extensively on Pablo Escobar, and he funneled almost all of his money through Launceston. You just know Tasmania is, you know, that's why they haven't got a football license yet, because they're just fucking dirty, mate.
It's a hotbed, yeah.
It is. You want your money cleaned, you go to Tassie, you fucking come back, you're a rich man, you've paid no taxes. Not Look at Mona. How was that set up, hey? Yeah, exactly.
Not many people know this, but Wolf of Wall Street was filmed in Tasmania. Hey, Adam, Lee Matthews is pretty unhappy with the game.
Mate, he's fucking furious about it. And the lucky thing is that here at Junk Time, we have access to one of the greatest footballers of all time.
Mm.
Lethal Matthews is up in Rod Carter Studios. Lethal, can I ask you, what is your problem with the game as it stands?
No, it's been really good. It's been hanging out with me during the week and all that kind of stuff. It's been great, you know, having a chat about, you know, various salary caps infractions. Lethal said,
tell you what, the flat earthers who say leave the game alone are living in a fantasy land, really. The coaches have changed the game more in the last decade than the previous 100 years and will continue to change it.
So he said he's gone to a handful of games at the Gabba, lucky Lethal, and he said the Richmond-Sydney game a few weeks ago, he walked out at halftime because he couldn't handle it anymore.
Fucking hell, Lethal walking out at halftime? What? Why are you leaving at halftime, though? Like, you're a footy sort of analyst, commentator. Where's he going? Like, what's he doing? It's your fucking job, Lethal. Just stick it out, mate.
He's got to go home and sell the Divine Homes, mate. He's got to do the... I like the idea that Lethal is running the social media accounts for Divine Homes. But he reckons...
I'll tell you what, though. Calling people flat earthers, that's unbelievable. He also said that most of the people who want the game change believe that coronavirus... is fake and given to you by 5G.
Oh, dude, can we talk about Bunnings lady for a second?
Please.
Oh, my God. Please. That was amazing. That was amazing.
Don't hang shit on my fellow Melburnian.
That was incredible. It's really awesome during this period how stupid people have been exposed.
Now, for those who haven't seen it, this lady walked into Bunnings in... Where was it? Was it Narre Warren? Or she's from Narre Warren. It was out somewhere out east in Melbourne, and has gone in and cited the 1948 human rights, and said, "You can't discriminate against me as a woman, and I don't have to wear a mask." And you're just like, "Yeah, they're a private company. Like, pubs can tell you got to wear shoes, so I reckon they can tell you got to wear a mask. Deal with it."
Yeah, I feel like I think she might have said "living woman" too, which is a handy little tip.
So you can discriminate the dead.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we can't defame the dead, so Don Bradman's the cunt. But but I think 1948, I have a feeling that might have been maybe a charter written up by the United Nations, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It came out of the back of World War II. They felt that they maybe needed to put some things in writing.
Isn't it funny, though, how people are that dumb and yet still manage to kind of quote historical documents?
Yeah.
Like, it's in the time, like, everybody's all of a sudden become, you know, experts on constitutions of countries.
Yeah, instead of going to The Hague to talk about constitutional law, they go to Bunnings and argue it there. And also, that same woman, there's another video that's appeared today, she went to the post office and had the same fucking argument. You know the people who need to get into an argument least are the people at the post office?
Yeah.
Like, it's just... they're just like, mate, we fucking sell stamps, you know? It's like, we put shit in a package, we send it to somewhere else. You're in here for like a minute at the most. Pop a fucking mask on, you idiot.
And also, there is the term going postal. And so it's like, there's a record of postal workers shooting places up. And so it's like, okay, of all the places I'm going to walk into, like, I'm happy to walk into a bikey bar. But I'm not walking into a post office Christmas party because I know things are going to get rough.
Oh, no, I'd walk into the clubhouse at the Finks and go, guys, I'm not wearing a mask, man. And you fellas, you Mr. Sergeant at Arms, cannot make me.
Hey, man, Dennis Pagan had a win.
Oh, mate, he deserved it. He's been out in the wilderness for too long. Johnny Get Angry didn't win. But now his little horse, what's it called? It's got a here.
Frankie Two Angels.
Frankie Two Angels. Mm. How's this, though? So that got up. Great. Good work, Pagan. We always knew you had it in you.
Full credit, yeah.
the moment he walked away from Carlton, you just thought, when's the horse industry going to snap him up, you know? he was wasted in the Carlton box. You could see him just going, give him the whip, and you're like, Dennis, you're not, it's the wrong game, mate. You shouldn't be here. But he called it Frankie Two Angels, right? And I didn't know this in Australian horse racing, that it only can have 18 characters with spaces, the name of it. Because there's a gangster in The Godfather called Frankie Five Angels, which is what he wanted to call it, and he couldn't. So he went Frankie Two Angels.
I did not know that either, actually.
I guess it's fair enough, because if you're a race caller and if you gave people carte blanche to name their own horses, you would get some absolutely fucking ridiculous ones. So you got to go, you know what? You got to keep it to 18 characters, and you cannot do it. Call it Hoof Arted. And that's the end of it.
Yeah, for sure. I think they actually have a system, like they run it through where you can't be too blue or, you know, innuendo, that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. which is fair enough.
The thing I noticed, though, so congratulations to Pago.
He deserves it.
His two-year-old had a start. The first start they had was at Moonee Valley in the St. Albans Stakes. The St. Albans Stakes, so it truly is the sport of kings. But he's got a few horses on the go, and I find this interesting, this quote here. When he said, okay, he's looking at the future of Frankie Two Angels, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't you? You would have to look ahead.
We're all on board, yeah.
Although, you know, I thought Pago would be looking at it one race at a time.
Well, here's the thing. Good point. Because he said, I haven't even sat down and looked at the calendar yet, okay?
Good.
Yeah, kind of taking it one win at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I haven't sat down and looked at the calendar yet, okay? Mm. Very next sentence. I was looking at the calendar the other night. But he says, I shouldn't have been doing that. Anyway, I'll look at it tonight. So wait a second. You haven't looked at it, but then you looked at it, and now you're going to look at it tonight. Come on, Pago. Yeah. We don't need this kind of chaos.
And he says, I just know there's a 1,400-metre race at Flemington, and I'd like him, Frankie Two Angels, to get a start in it if he could. Is this horse getting a special run at it because of who it knows? Like, are the trainers going, mate, we've got to put it in there. It's fucking Pago's horse. I do not want to cop the spray if Dennis Pagan's horse doesn't get in. Just fucking let it run.
So do you think it's getting special privilege?
Mate, I'm not saying anything. I don't want to get sued yet again, but I'm just saying, all of a sudden, a man who is renowned for his football nous, as in kick it to the best player in the competition, all of a sudden, he is the master trainer. He's come from nowhere. He's got a real estate business that's kind of, you know, he's not like a fucking mogul. Mm. But now all of a sudden, he steps into horse racing. Second race, he's got himself a fucking winner.
Yeah, sure.
It's all happened a little bit too quickly, Michael.
I mean, I don't want you to disparage the integrity of the horse racing industry, by the way. Be very careful.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But Pago has his other horses, Boris the Chicken. Toilet Duck. And John Elliott's
a cunt. Which comes in at 18 characters. That's a great horse. Outraged Adelaide Oval. They have dropped the grand final. There were only going to be three grounds in the country this year who are going to get the grand final. The Gabba.
Yep.
You're looking at Adelaide Oval potentially, and Perth at Optus Stadium.
Yeah.
Scratch Adelaide Oval off your list. Just they're fucking gone. They're done. They've cooked it. Mm-hmm. Well.
Yeah.
They've cooked it and they've half packed it.
And then they put the lid on it.
Yeah.
We can't have this kind of stuff happening in football. I mean,
so they've been serving up half full boxes of chips. And they tried to blame COVID. I mean, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, so they came out during the week, and this shows how...
They had a little press conference about it.
I know. Shows how fucking slow on news that was. I mean, they need a little COVID in their life to kind of keep people on their toes. Yeah. But the dude came out. I don't know if he was the boss of Adelaide Oval or had some kind of, you know, obviously had a role there. Had to do a press conference to say that they were going to pack the chip packets more by the fact that they would keep the lid open so you could have the chips overflowing, but due to COVID...
In COVID, they had to put the lid on.
Have to shut the lid, I mean, you always got to keep the lid on.
And but not on the chips. The lid can come off the chips, mate. We've always said that.
And so they generally held a press conference saying that they're going to put more chips into the packets.
Which well, is this is what happens when you leave Collective Mind in charge of the chips. You know it's going to be... I mean, why do they keep using this company? It's fucking ridiculous.
There was a guy dressed in an army uniform behind him shouting about the chips.
It's fair enough. You remember that time at the MCC when they reduced the portions of blue cheese and quince paste?
I tell you what, we fucking rioted. I mean, yeah, it was like what's happening in Portland right now.
Absolutely, man. Rich people's lives matter.
I got pepper sprayed a million times. Hey, do you find it interesting? Okay, question without notice. When you watch the footage of the stuff like Portland and the like, and people come up and they get pepper sprayed, it doesn't seem to really hurt them. Like, I watched a guy today, and he got sprayed right in the face. But he kind
of
just kept
on... Yeah, you see the big squirt.
He kept on carrying on like normal. And I'm like, what are they What are they using?
Have we become too used to the pepper spray? Do we need to step it up, like pepper spray 2.0?
I remember years ago going in for a stand-up gig, and there was a guy on a tram kind of being... I could see him like about 50 metres away. And he was yelling and screaming. You know, probably a guy, you know, down on his luck. And then went into the gig, and then about 10 minutes later, a cop came in with another cop, and she was, like, wailing, because she, from what I could gather, that they went to pepper spray him, and then it got in her eyes.
Oh, okay, yep.
So they went to the bathroom for, like, 15 minutes to kind of, you know, wash their eyes.
Or maybe she'd just seen your set.
But I thought, if that's pepper spray, like... I've seen too many times where people have been sprayed in the face and they just kind of go, oh, yeah, whatever, and move on.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. It needs to be strengthened. This is, you know, we've become used to it, and it's just, it's pepper spray off a duck's back. It's not good enough.
If anything, I mean, Trump should get tougher. Law and order, Adam. Law and order.
Yeah, that's what people want.
Swanee had a good one this week, man.
What's Dane Swan been up to? So he's been kind of quiet of late.
Well, he kind of pops up every now and then, doesn't he? Just by the fact that nothing really to kind of promote. I think they kind of go to him for a quote every now and then, like just for a bit of a chat. I mean,
I guess he can't leave the country, so he's not going to Vegas. There's not much going on. He can't be running the Albion, his pub.
Question without notice. AFL
Hall. No, two in a row, back to back.
AFL Hall of Famer, when did he get in?
Look, I guess because he released the book, they'd probably be holding it off a little bit longer than he... possibly might have gotten in, but it's still another, what, 6-7 years off, wouldn't you think?
What, so they released the book?
Well, since he put his book out and actively said, you know, said that he used to take cocaine during seasons, I reckon the AFL have gone, don't say that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Just, you were on 2 strikes, mate, or you're on 8 strikes, mate, just fucking keep it to yourself.
Sure. So he came out during the week and said managers aren't really a thing.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Player managers.
Yeah, yeah. So,
see, this is a man. Clearly, Swanee has never needed to know what the conditions are like at a football ground.
Yeah, sure. Well,
you need managers for that. You know, there's only one man that you go to those kind of things. Clearly, see.
Let me give you the kicker in a minute. Okay. Okay. All right. So it's off the back of Jordan Degoe, who has been negotiating with Collingwood with the assistance of his father. Okay. So, doesn't have a manager, and he is...
Dads always do really good contracts, as David Cloke was a prime example with the Cloke boys.
I know. We always find out when parents... If the tennis industry has taught me anything, parents should be involved at all times.
At every step, yeah.
So, he talks about how that player...
Well, you know what would be great is if you're a player and you go, excuse me, my representation is Bernard Tomic... and John Dockage. So deal with them.
Would you ever walk into a negotiation with your parents, like either one? Like I reckon.
Oh God.
I mean, my dad is a legal dude, so I reckon he could kind of, you know, work a few clauses, I suppose. But I can't imagine too many other family members where I want to go in and, you know, have them represent me.
No, not dad. No, he'd ask really straight. He'd like get me some sort of clause in there that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, for sure. My dad would get really confused too. Like he'd be so he
if
says,
you've read Paris and Other Disappointments, you'd be quite aware that I would not want my dad in any negotiations.
That's a very good point. Yeah. So he says managers are good when the negative shit happens. Gee, filthy mouth. Don't approve of that.
There's none of that. It's an article, mate.
They are better at handling the crisis or bad news. So what he's trying to say is that, you know, when things are going fine, they're getting their cut. They get, what, 4% of the contract, he says here. And then they get 20% of your deals, your shoe deals or ads or whatever. But he says they're only really helpful when shit goes down.
Can I just say, though, being a Collingwood player, that would have been quite regularly.
Well, I'm trying to think of how much trouble Swanee got into. Wasn't there maybe one day where he had a blue on the street? At
he got into punch on maybe at Fed Square with someone and they kind of had to pay that. I think they paid that out in a civil suit perhaps.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. So apart from that, which is I was going to say a clean skin, but that's a big deal when you got to pay people out, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the kicker here, when he's saying managers are good, you know, for when negative shit happens, but, you know, blah, 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 they're not much use. He is managed by our friend, Liam Pickering.
The great man.
Which is amazing. It's amazing.
So Pickers wouldn't have even known that Swanee had these swords because they probably never spoke.
Well, there's a quote here from Pickers at the bottom of the article. He said, "I never realised I got 4% of the contract and 20% of the deals." Pickers. The gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
Hey, we're going to wrap it up, Adam. We have no footballers in real life this week. So everyone from the Goldie, we've got a special
the ball.
Double pass with King Tut's putt-putt if you want to get on board if you spot a football in real life up there. I'm trying to think. So they're going to be at the Goldie for a bit? Where are they playing now? I'm confused. They're going to WA.
No, so it's only Collingwood, Geelong, Hawthorne and Carlton at the moment who are in WA and they will head back to Queensland, I do believe. I think there might be a hub coming in Cairns.
Oh, okay. Yep, sure.
But I'm pretty sure everyone is staying north of the border. I don't think they're going back to New South Wales because shit's starting to kick off a little bit there, so it's too dangerous.
Yeah, sure. And don't they want to go to Darwin as well?
I think Darwin's another one that's on the cards because Tasmania during the week went, "Nah, fuck off mainland. We're not having anyone from the Eastern Seaboard. We'll take your money, but we're not taking your fucking filthy players.
You know what,
we'll take your dirty money, we won't take your dirty players."
It could be a perfect time actually right now to have a hub near the Cake Ting in New Zealand. What a perfect spot to grow the game.
Do you think Wellington would take us? That's the issue.
We could sweeten the deal, you know. chuck in, Mike Brady and Basil Zemplis. They can... We're going to hit the road. We are junktimeapplepod at Gmail, on Twitter, on Facebook, and the gram. Here you go.
Go Blue.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.